everybody. Welcome back to Lipstick and Lightsabers. I am Shannon.
And I'm Alex.
And today we are talking about episodes 13 and 14 of The Bad Batch. We literally only have one more episode left. I kind of am feeling like I kind of feel like these episodes, like, yes, they're building to something, but it doesn't feel like it's the finale.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It feels like, oh, there's going to be another season.
It really feels like it's not the last season. And I know it is. Like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, it's going to be a secret fourth season. It's just, it feels...
I hope the finale is long.
I do,
like,
too.
Everyone's like, oh, I hope it's over 20 minutes. Like...
There's so much for them to still wrap up. I don't see how it can be, like, 22 minutes. Like,
I hope it's a double episode at least.
I do, too.
Like, 40 minutes.
I think I would feel better if, like, when it was, like, oh, the last episode, the cavalry has arrived, was, like, part one, part two.
Yeah.
If they had said that, I would feel, like, fine.
I definitely agree with you because I feel less confidence that it's going to be a longer episode because they would have done that. They would have said part one, part two.
Right.
Two episodes. Because I do wonder, because most of these episodes are, like, 21, 22 minutes, and I know it's a Disney Plus original, but do they make it that length on purpose so that they can air it on Disney Channel if they wanted to?
That's true, because it is like a regularly timed Disney Channel episode.
Yeah.
When you take out the commercials. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely think there's nothing stopping this from being like just a 40-minute episode, but I still think they would have called it part one and part two, because even, you know, back in the old days when these things were on cable TV, that's what it would say in the episode description. It would say, like, part one, part two. Like, I remember, like, Kim Possible and Teen Titans. Like, it would still say that. It would just air it all at once.
And, like, no one seems to know, because I don't think people who got advanced
they didn't get
the finale.
No.
So no one really knows if the finale is long or not.
Yeah. That is definitely, there's several fears, but I feel like that's the main fear. Because if we get past that, then other fears can be alleviated. So as far as recommendations go, I mentioned this last time that I had like just started Fallout and that I really was like into it. I wasn't sure where it was going. Well, we've both now watched the whole thing. Like, I finished it and then Alex was like buzzing with need to watch Fallout. Guys, 10 out of 10, no notes.
It's no notes.
No notes.
No notes.
I remember.
I haven't felt this way about a show in so long. I've been like telling everyone that I recommended to that, like, I haven't felt this positive about a show since like Andor, I would say.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. I remember like texting Alex because it is really good. And I remember I got to the finale and I was just messaging her like on and off, because I actually said that part of the finale reminded me of the Ewoks movie. But then really quickly after that, I was like, oh, hold on. That was a little Raylo. That was a little throne room that just happened right there. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, the meta analysis going on is like
very Raylo 2018.
I saw someone breaking down Lucy's heroine's journey, and I was like, what year is it?
We're back.
We're back. It's 2018 all over again. I love this show. I thought the finale was the strongest episode out of all of them. The way that it wrapped up arcs and answered questions was fantastic. Like, most of the questions you go into the finale with get answered, which is really nice. Because a lot of people said it was a lot like Lost.
Yes.
But it's not like Lost in that way. Like, you get a lot of answers in the finale.
Yes. Where it's like Lost is like the mystery and things not being as they seem.
The mystery box. The J.J. Abrams box.
Like, I would say that, and this, I mean, I feel like this is really only spoilery if you've seen Lost and seen Fallout, but I would say Vault-Tec and the Dharma Initiative are very similar, like, mystery feels, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very similar where I'm like, ooh, what's that? I have some questions, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, like, sprinkled through really well. The world building,
so good.
So good. Like, I really feel there.
I also feel that every main character gets a compelling story. I don't feel like when we're in one story, I'm not like itching to get back to someone else. Like, I enjoyed each character individually.
I disagree, but I realize I am kind of silly for disagreeing. my toxic trait is I don't love Maximus. It's my toxic trait.
That's fair. He's probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is my least favorite of, like, the mains. But he does have a good story. I did really like his story.
He does have a really good story. I think the disconnect for me is just the way he acts in a way, but at the same time, like, it does make sense. Uh-huh. It's just, I don't know, like, something about him, it's almost like he has that same naivety that, like, Lucy has, but it manifests a little bit differently, so yeah. I think maybe that's what frustrates me, mm-hmm. but I do think with season two, like, he's set up to go on a really good arc.
Yeah, his story going forward is gonna be really interesting. I am, like, a really big fan of Norm, of Lucy's brother, too. He got a really good story. It'll be interesting to see where he leaves off, because they kind of left him off on a bit of a cliffhanger at the end.
Rico from Hannah Montana.
Yeah, Rico from Hannah Montana. And I love when he's acting alongside another character named Chet, and it's, like, small and tall.
And, all, like, the actor who plays Chet is admittedly extremely tall, but also...
Is he?
Yes, he is. He's like, over 6 feet tall, and I can't remember the actor's name.
Arias.
Yeah, Moises Arias. He's, like, 4'11".
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I like their dynamic a lot,
Really like their dynamic. Yeah, his story was actually, like, surprisingly one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Just him learning more about the vaults from the inside, whereas, like, Lucy kind of learns more about the vaults from the outside. That was so cool. This is a ghoul stan account.
We love the ghoul.
We love the ghoul.
So, like, I'm so obsessed with the ghoul. He's so cool. And the actor who plays the ghoul, Walton Goggins, is going to be in White Lotus season 3.
Mm-hmm, with our girl, Bertha Russell.
Yeah, Carrie Coon. Yep. They're going to have, like, a diva off, because
they really
they're going to be so good.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah, I'm so glad that they already announced, too, that Fallout has a second season. Like, I told my mom, I'm like, if this would be on Netflix, it probably would have gotten canceled, but...
Yeah. I was reading a bit about the production of it. Season 1 wasn't even filmed in California at all, even though it takes place in California.
Mm-hmm.
They mostly film in New York.
Oh.
And Utah for the more, I think, deserty shots.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, New York, like, kind of, like, not New York City, but they did the Super Mart in Staten Island.
Okay, yeah.
And so they actually filmed a lot of this, like, on locations rather than, like, on green screen.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that they actually were shooting in natural environments, I should say.
Well, and I mean, even the vaults, like, they really, like, a lot of those vaults were built, because you see them from mm-hmm. so many angles with people kind of going in, like, a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Like, obviously not all of it, but a lot of it, I'm sure they built, like, on a soundstage.
I was so interested in, like, the budget of it all, because I thought it looked so good, especially when you compare it to some of the Disney Plus shows. Some look better than others.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm thinking, like, Ahsoka, right? Like,
right.
I didn't think Ahsoka looked that great.
Right.
It was shot in the volume, and I was just like, well, how much did this cost? So, like, Ahsoka cost $100 million
mm-hmm.
for season one, and Fallout cost $150 million. For season one, but per minute, like, that makes Ahsoka a lot more expensive.
Yes, it does. And you're right. Like, Fallout looks so good. And I love listening. What's the actress who plays Lucy from Yellow Jackets? What's her name?
Ella Purnell.
Yeah, Ella Purnell. I loved hearing her talk about, like, the behind the scenes, and especially, like, the props. Like, she talks about the Pip-Boys, and, like, she got really into learning about, like, the Fallout games and the lore, and
seeing
these
dedication.
Things come to life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, the fan response from what I've seen from, like, diehards of the game haven't been that positive, which to me kind of more speaks to how good it is, because diehards of the game, like, they were never going to like it.
Like, I've seen mixed things from fans. Like, a lot of fans being like, oh, it was great, but they broke, like, they retcon stuff. Yeah. Like, they broke some canon things, and some fans are okay with it, and fans, some aren't. And it's very reminiscent of Star Wars.
Yeah.
When the current timeline changes something that was, like, in Legends or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and, from my understanding of the game, like, that was going to be a hard game to adapt without changing things. Mm-hmm. And I think they did amazing, because they said that Fallout 4, that's the current game, it sold out, like, so quickly after this came out.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of new people.
The most amount of players online since there was a release. And the last release was 6 years ago.
Yeah. So, like, it brought in a lot of new eyes, too, which is also very, like, Star Wars, Last Jedi kind of feels.
Like, look at us. Like, I would never have picked up the game Fallout. Like, no. I probably still wouldn't. But, like, I've been watching so many TikToks and videos, like, telling me information about the game.
Yeah, because the lore is so cool. And, like, that's why it works, I feel, because the lore was done so well.
Yeah.
One of the things that gets me, too, is that, like, there was, like, a whole Reddit thread of people who were mad that they made the dog a girl.
What?
It's like, why are you mad about that?
What?
Like, they're like, oh, dog meat's not supposed to be a girl. I'm like, it's a dog.
But it's not dog meat specifically, like, from the games. It's a different dog.
She's, well, at the end, the ghoul names her dog meat.
Oh, yeah, like the game one.
Right,
okay,
yeah.
So,
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not mad, like, the main character is a woman, like, already.
I know, because normally the vault player is male. Like, you have, like, options, but then if you play as the vault dweller, the vault dweller is male. So,
you know, the creators of this show were cooking.
They were, like, cooking. They were really cooking. Can I just say, speaking of really cooking, okay, I thought about not including this on our recs, but I watched Sydney Sweeney's Immaculate, okay?
I've heard the end's really good.
Listen, Sydney Sweeney is cooking.
Well, we both agree that Sydney Sweeney cooks. Like, we both are big fans of her.
She's so smart. No, like, the thing is, so, like, this is a horror movie, right? Like, horror movies don't get any recognition. Sydney Sweeney deserves an Oscar for her performance in this movie.
Really?
And this, like, and I would argue that this movie, because, like, I love horror movies, I would argue that this is, like, it is kind of your run-of-the-mill scary movie. And it takes place, you know, like, in a nunnery, and, like, there's evil priests and, like, stuff like that. Like, it's not necessarily doing anything new, but, like, her performance is so good, especially at the end, because, you know, the whole movie is about her, like, oh my God, it's the Immaculate Conception. And, like, the thing about it is that you never once believe that it actually is. Like, the movie is telling you, like, it's not. These people are crazy. Like, they immediately is that's kind of your thought. So when you go on this journey with Sydney Sweeney's character, like, you really feel, like, the panic and, like, the mounting dread of, like, what has been done to me type of vibe. Yeah. And personally, like, I think her and, like, all the writers deserve a lot of props for the ending, because that was a really gutsy ending. And I feel like it made perfect sense. I think if they had gone in a different direction, it wouldn't have hit as hard. And I wasn't expecting it. Like, I was expecting it to go one way. And then I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. This is going to happen. And then it didn't. And it still, like, it was just so, so well done. Like, I already knew this, but, like, Sydney Sweeney, I will literally watch any movie that she is in and puts her name on, because she is the moment. Like,
she's such a girl boss.
She is.
Like, that's, like, the perfect word to describe her, because she is producing, she's acting. You know, she was, like, valedictorian of her high school. Like, she's just girl bossing life.
Yeah. And she was like, I want to make this movie. And it took her 10 years to do it. And she did. And I think she gave the performance of a lifetime. Again, like, is the movie the best horror movie I've ever seen? No. Like, I put another one on here that I think is also really good, but I had really a lot of fun with it, and I think Sydney Sweeney needs to make more horror movies because she's got something. She's got an interesting point of view.
Definitely gonna watch it.
The other movie I put on here is actually one that I'd never heard of. I actually found it on Peacock, just scrolling through. It's called Come Play, and it is a theatrical version of a short film called Larry that came out a while ago. It's about a little boy who has autism. It's actually very similar to the plot of The Babadook. And this monster named Larry takes notice of him and wants to be his friend. And monster movies to me, like, have not been the best as of recently. I would say, like, Imaginary kind of being the most recent example of that. Like, the monster in that was kind of lame. The monster design in Come Play is so good, and the story they give the monster was really good. Like, it makes me want to watch, like, the short film because I want to see what they changed for the theatrical. And again, the ending was very good. Like, the ending was just very impactful, very meaningful. The only thing I can compare it to is The Babadook, and it's very similar, but I feel like the monster itself was just, I'm kind of surprised that, like, the horror movie crowd, like, haven't picked up on this monster because he's really cool. He looks really cool. He's got an interesting backstory. I would expect to see this everywhere.
When did this come out?
It came out like 2020. Okay, so maybe that's why it got buried, maybe.
Okay.
But like, if you like monster movies and like you like horror movies, I would recommend it. And actually, the guy who plays the dad has been in like everything. Now I can't think of everything that he's been in, but specifically he's in this other movie that I really liked, that was actually directed by Mike Flanagan, which was Hush. But the boy is the little boy from Marriage Story, which is just like, it blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh. But I really liked that. Like, I watched Immaculate one day and then I watched Come Play the next day. And I was just like, man, horror movies, they be popping off right now. They're doing great. So I guess that does take us to the elephant in the room for recommendations.
The elephant in the room.
You know, something happened over the past week that has shifted the earth.
Yeah. Can I preface this with saying, leading up, I think we're both on this page, leading up to the Tortured Poets Department arriving, I was not listening to Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, like, I was listening to a lot of Chappelle Roan. Like, I was listening to The Beaches. I've been listening to a lot of Hozier. Like, I got Taylor kind of out of my daily rotation of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is on, so I have, like, a playlist with Lucy Dacus, who's actually been, like, my favorite right now. I'm obsessed with all of her albums. Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, obviously Boy Genius.
Boy Genius is Chapel always Road. In my rotation.
Yeah. And so, and, like, she's, Folklore, Evermore, and Midnights are on that playlist, too. Mm-hmm. But I actually would find myself sometimes skipping. You know?
Yeah. And I don't know if it was me preparing myself that I would listen to Tortured Poets a lot. I honestly, like, I also was okay with the fact that, like, oh, maybe this is just not for me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like I'm not as big of a fan as I was, like, let's say last year.
Yeah, like, literally this time last year.
Yeah. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but, like, the Tortured Poets Department might be my favorite album she's put out.
Yeah. Like, and the funny thing is, when you listen to it the first time, you are kind of like,
no, I didn't like it.
You're like, I don't like that. I didn't like that.
Like, I also, like, felt nervous when people started asking me, like, the night it came out and our friends are messaging me, being like, how do you feel about it?
I'm like, yes, I really didn't like people asking me about it.
Like, I'm like, I'm not vibing with this, but, like, I almost, like, feel positive that in the light of day tomorrow, like, I'm going to start, like, liking it more.
Yes. Yeah, like.
But the first The first listen was so weird.
Yeah. Well, and I found myself, I was like, you know, these songs kind of all sound the same. Like, it's just Midnights again. And the morning, like, I didn't stay up, but the Friday that it came out was the science state test, like, part one of the science state test. So, like, I got to work, and, like, I was still listening to it because it was, surprise, a double album, and it was 31 songs.
Oh, my God.
And, like, I started... I was, like, still kind of feeling like, I don't know about this. But then as other teachers started to come in, they were, like, asking me, what do you think? And I'm, like, I don't know. Like I can't
give you an answer.
Like, I have other things going on. I can't give you an answer. And, like, it – we just kept messaging each other just kind of, like wait, actually – like, actually
– It's like a grower. This album is such a grower. And it takes a few listens to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
But once it clicked for me, it was like, oh, this is a masterpiece. And I, so like, my favorite album is Evermore. And I would say my second favorite has always been Reputation. And pretty quickly, I felt like I liked it better than Reputation.
Yes.
And I think it has a bit of a mix of Evermore and Reputation in there. And I think that's why I like it so much.
I totally agree with that. Like, I kind of feel like it's, this is going to be a weird sentence. I kind of feel like it's Evermore's Reputation album. Like, does that make sense? Yeah,
it's like sad and sexy.
Yeah, like I, and it's just so interesting. And a lot of people don't like a lot of the songs. Well, actually, I say a lot of people, but a lot of people are starting to come around to it since we've had it for, you know, over a week now. But it's very messy and it's very long. Like, it's 31 songs because she released two albums at once. I like said pretty quickly that the anthology is better than the original, but now I'm kind of like, but the original, like, you can't, like, the anthology doesn't click unless you have the original, you know? Unless you have
the original,
You know, and I truly feel like this was Taylor Swift saying, like, I have been in the trenches. I have been, like, at such a low point in my life. It's been so manic. It's been so up and down. Here's just all of it so that you can feel the way that I felt. Like, it feels messy and all over the place, which makes sense considering the subject matter.
It's a really sad album.
It's very sad.
And, like, I like the sad songs the most, so I think that's another reason it clicked so well. I mean, we're both boy genius listeners, so of course we like sad music.
Yeah, I love the meme where it's like, you woke up in the morning and listened to this, but girl, you didn't even try to be happy.
Yeah,
like, that's me every day.
Like, and like, Lucy gets like a mention on this album, and it's like the funniest thing because it's like she hates Maddie Healy.
Yeah, which I think is really, like, honestly though, that line, because it said, you know, like, he said to Lucy, he'd kill himself if I ever leave, and I said the same thing to Jack, so I felt seen. Like, all I can think of is that I can guarantee you not a single person around Taylor was like, go for him, honey. Like, I guarantee you all of her friends were like, stop don't do it. Yeah,
I don't know if I agree with that.
Really?
I think, I mean, like, we don't know her, and that's, we don't know her friends, but, like, I almost feel like people were encouraging her to have her messy era after coming out of a 6-year relationship.
I can see that, yes.
I don't think that Lucy was encouraging it, specifically. No, definitely not. Lucy, but Lucy, I'm saying, like, not. Gigi, like, you have, like, Gigi, you have Blake, Jack, I think those three, like... That's so, just like what I would think, is, but like, we don't know her.
What you're saying is she needed more lesbian saying, honey, stop.
Yeah. And we already know that Phoebe Bridgers is very messy herself, especially with her situation with, like, Bo Burnham.
Yes.
So she probably encouraged it too. I think.
You know what? You're kind of making a lot of sense there, Alex.
Yeah. I don't think that any of her friends felt like this was a forever thing.
Yeah.
I think it went past what they thought it was going to be, like her singing, like, she, it was the loss of her life, right?
Yeah.
I don't think her friends ever thought that she was going to reach those feelings. Well, see, but that, I think they encouraged the funness of it.
That's kind of what, like, that's also kind of, like, what I mean. Like, I think for Taylor, at least from what it seems, is that, like, this was something very, very deep, which seems weird, like, if you don't know all of the context with her and Maddie Healy. And, like, Maddie Healy is not a great person. So, like, that's just kind of beside the point. And I do think that that's the thing that, like, nobody expected. They were like, wait, what do you mean he's the loss of your life, you know?
Yeah. I've, like, learned a lot about, like, 1975 lore in the past week. Like, and I think that's, like, part of the reason the first listen I also had a hard time, because I was like, wait, why are all these songs about Maddie Healy? Like, I don't like this dude. Like, and I felt like, I guess, like, on the first few listens, it's, like, hard to empathize.
Right. Yes.
Empathize with her, because you're like, this person you're singing about is a pretty awful person. So I think that's also part of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess once you kind of forget about him and then just listen to her feelings, the songs improve a bit.
Yeah. Because I hate to say that it doesn't matter who it's about, because
it kind of does,
because it does, but I also,
like, but Daddy I Love Him doesn't, like, impact as much, right, I think, as it is for some other people, because I'm like, girl, like, Smallest Violin, like, I don't care that I said I hated him, like, he's a bad person.
Yeah, well, and I kind of feel like some of the, like, I kind of feel like that song in particular is, like, very satirical. Like, yeah. I do think she meant it in a do I not sound ridiculous way. Like, I personally, personally, that's how I see it. But I kind of feel like what matters here is just seeing, like, those deep emotions. And, like, people have talked about, like, it's the relationships that really messed you up, like, that were super toxic, that had, you know, kind of horrible people that really affect you. And I just think that nobody was expecting it to happen like this with Taylor.
I write the worst men the best or something. True.
So true. Man, I mean, I really do like this album a lot. Like, and even I remember the first time when it came out, I was listening to Fortnite. I'm like, why is this a single? I don't like this. And now Fortnite comes on and I'm like, this is such a bop.
Yeah. Fortnite grew on me a lot.
Yes.
All of the songs really grew on me a lot. The first listen of the anthology, though, I would say had a positive enjoyment of it. But it was also the morning. Like, also, like, I listened to it at midnight, and that's, like, another whole experience of being, like, sleepy. I'm pretty sure I dozed off at, like, 11:45 before it dropped.
Yeah.
So I was a little dozy.
Yeah, no, I just listened in the morning, which also I was, like, I was more awake when I got to the anthology. Like, I remember, like, I was, like, dressed and ready by the time I was, like, starting, like, the Black Dog and things like that. I just, like, man, some of my favorites, I love, like, the Albatross, the Prophecy, the Manuscript.
The Manuscript hits.
It's such a good ending song.
I was telling you that it, like, really feels like a sister to Good Reader.
Yeah.
Not Good Reader, Dear Reader. It, yeah.
It's
really good.
It's really good. Like, And like, we're gatekeeping this album.
Yeah, like, I'm like, if you don't like it, then fine.
That's fine.
Stay away from it.
It's not for you. Yeah, Alex put on here, maybe we'll do an episode matching up Star Wars characters. That is quite a feat.
With 31 songs.
Although we did do that with Red Taylor's version, and that has, like, 20 yeah, and
that's,
something.
That's like 30?
I think so. It was also very long.
Yeah. So
it's been done. It has been done before. Yeah. I mean, more than
there's
anything.
There's a lot of Raylo songs on this album.
There is a lot of Raylo songs. I feel like more than anything, though, like, this is a Rory Gilmore album.
Yeah. Just both the Gilmore girls, really.
And Midge Maisel.
Because they're so messy.
This is like a Amy Sherman Palladino album.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Because she writes a lot of really messy women. So it makes sense. Makes sense.
And honestly, like, I love that. We're in this era of, like, I want messy, not perfect female characters. And that's literally what's happening right now with, like, this.
I've told you a lot of times, like, Taylor's, like, not okay.
No, she's not okay.
Like, if... like this, the person who wrote this album, maybe she's mentally better now, but she was not when she wrote this. She was not okay.
She was not.
I think this is the lowest she's ever sounded writing. Yes.
No, literally. Like, it's very, very low and very, very messy. And I it does make me wonder, like, where she'll go after this. Like, will we still have, like, the same, like, Midnight's Evermore folklore sound? Will it be new? I don't know. But yeah. I like what we have right now.
I do wonder, because like the first criticisms of the album was that her and Jack were kind of holding each other back.
Mm-hmm.
So like I could also see her taking that criticism and like trying to be really different on next album, even if she still works with Jack, but like taking tries that to push and it. Like pushing.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that happening. But I've also seen like reviewers come back around this week and say like, oh, my first review was a mistake.
Yes.
Like, I like it now.
I do still agree with the criticism about her and Jack. Like, mm-hmm. I like the music, but I do still agree that it does sound very samey a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And that, you know, where, like, if you compare the two sides, like, Aaron Dessner's producing really elevates Taylor in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I definitely feel that my favorite songs on the album are Aaron songs.
Yes.
But there's a couple Jack ones that really impressed me, like The Black Dog.
That one's really good.
Florida, Fresh Out the Slammer. Like, there's a few that are Jack that I'm really, really impressed by. Like, yeah. The Black Dog, man. That might be Jack's best.
All right. Anyway, on to the news. We've still got a lot of things to talk about before we get to Bad Batch. Couple of things on the news. This all has to do with May the 4th. So first thing is that Celebration tickets, they go on sale this week.
On Thursday. So if you're in North America, they are going on sale on May the 2nd, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Which is 8 a.m. Japan time of the next third, day. Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. On the 3rd. So that's super exciting. Like, it feels, like, really real. Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's this week.
Yeah. And they also indicated on their website recently that if you're international, it's will call only. So all of you Americans who are used to getting your tickets shipped, you will have to go to will call like me.
Yes.
Like always.
Well, I mean, I went to will call with you last time.
It's
so
not bad. Everyone's, no, it's not. Like, scared. All of the American, like, people going are like, I don't know how I'm going to deal with, like, going to Japan without already having my ticket. I'm like, what? You sound crazy.
Yeah, it really wasn't that bad. Like, it was fine. You just go and they give you your stuff and then you're done. Like,
yeah.
It's super easy.
It's like you're still going to be given like a barcode. Like, it's not like you're gonna have no proof that you have a ticket.
Yeah, but like we were talking about this, like it'll definitely help for people who are trying to like resell, like, and mark it up, because you have to pick it up there. It's not like you can get them from somebody else. Yeah.
I wonder though, like, have they said that there is, if there's gonna be light resell this time? I haven't seen anything about it.
I haven't seen anything about that either. I feel like we probably won't until closer to time.
Yeah.
But I mean, and the tickets too, because the yen is so weak right now, are very inexpensive. Like, when we went to Anaheim,
Anaheim's like an extra day.
Yeah.
You have to think about it that way too, like in terms of days.
I mean, that's true, but I still feel like, I don't know, I still feel like they were.
How much were they when we went to Chicago and that was 5 days?
It was 5 days. I want to say that they were like $200 though.
Yeah, but this is $168 for 3 days.
That's true. I'm thinking about it backwards.
Yeah. So I think it's like normal price. It's just the kids' tickets.
You know what though? I see that one and I'm just like, wow, how cheap.
Yeah. I think it's just the kids' tickets that are really, really cheap.
Yeah, 3 days for $40. I'm a child.
$168 for 3 days. I think it's, like, worth it. I think it's a good value. I don't think it's necessarily that much cheaper than usual, though.
Yeah, that is still a really good value. There is merch available to buy with the tickets, but they're being really weird about, like, who made this art. So yeah. I'm pretty sure that it's AI generated. Because they won't, like, why wouldn't they say who the artist is if it's not AI generated?
Yeah, so I emailed customer service after they announced the merch, and I didn't even mention AI off the bat. Like, I was just like, hey, I run a Star Wars podcast, and we want to talk about this merch, and we'd like to give credit where credit's due, like, who made this art. And they were like, we don't know.
Yeah, they're like, we don't have that they information.
Said
that,
like, they were gonna escalate it to, like, the manager and, like, get back to me. Mm-hmm. But I haven't gotten another email. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's really frustrating because, like, they have produced, like, I feel like Star Wars Celebration, like, they always get really good artists. So, like, I don't understand why.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think they ever revealed who did the London art. Not that I was ever invested in that because
I didn't go. Didn't, like, Skytalker say that it ended up probably being clip art?
The London art, though, the key art's ugly.
Yeah.
That one was, like, ugly.
Yeah. The Japan one is so pretty, but they won't say who the artist is. So it is very likely AI generated, which is really sad because that's such a missed opportunity.
So, yeah. So, hopefully there's other merch there that is done by real artists.
Well, I'm sure they'll have an art show again.
Oh, yeah. So, they will.
Yeah. And that's going to be great. But I'd also,
like, love for them to have, like, actual Japanese-based artists doing some of this art. Because, like, that's, like, more unique if you come home with stuff that's, like, specific to that.
Exactly. So also, since it's May the 4th, that does mean that we've got free comic book day coming. So that will be on May the 4th on Saturday. We're getting some interesting cover variants, specifically Star Wars number 1 with a Luke and Vader mirror cover. I will say, though, there's one thing about that cover that's weird to me, and it's the lightsaber. did you look at the lightsaber?
Okay, let me look.
On Luke's side, it's a yellow lightsaber. Like, it's like a yellow lightsaber, and it looks like it's from the High Republic. Like, whose is that?
What?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
whose lightsaber is that?
I don't know. Like, that is not the same. Like, that's not the right.
Like.
That's not the right, like, hilt. That's not the right, like, color.
He's in his Return of the Jedi outfit.
Yeah, so it should be the green one. But it's not. We've never seen that hilt before. It looks High Republic.
That's not, you don't think that's the Skywalker hilt?
No, because the Skywalker hilt's above it.
Like, I know it shouldn't be that one anyways.
Yeah, but the Vader hilt looks similar to the Skywalker hilt.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Anyway. But yeah, free comic book day. Swing by your local comic book shop. Get a free comic book.
Support local. Young Jedi Adventures is also having a free comic book that day, and Nubs is on the cover.
Nubs is so cute. And then also we get The Phantom Menace in theaters. I want to go. I think I'm going to go.
I'm going.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Acolyte preview.
Dang, Acolyte preview, man. That's so exciting. I love that. I'm so happy that they put Phantom Menace back in theaters. They've been putting a lot of movies back in theaters, like Alien, Interstellar, Shrek, like Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this is kind of to get people going back to the theaters still, mm-hmm. which honestly, like, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm kind of hoping that once school's out, I can start going to the theater more, because the weekend comes and I just want to, like, crawl in a down. Hole. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Makes sense. I want to kind of, I'm hoping that they put, like, Mad Max Fury Road into theaters, because I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I'm going to be dragged to go see Furiosa, which I'm not complaining about.
No, I'm not complaining about Furiosa.
Like, Anya Taylor-Joy looks really cool in it. But I actually haven't seen Fury Road, which a lot of people are surprised about. But I kind of feel like...
Why are people surprised that you haven't seen Fury Road?
Because it was, like, so big. I haven't seen
Fury Road.
I know. It's like, see, we're normal. But, like, also, like, people are like, Alex, like, how have you not seen that? But at this point, it's like, well, if you re-release it before the next movie, maybe that would be exciting. And yeah. I would, like, want to go
like,
see it.
I've definitely been, like, looking because Anya Taylor-Joy... I would like to see Anya Taylor-Joy.
And Chris Hemsworth looks nothing like Chris Hemsworth.
No, he doesn't. I always know that he's in it, like, subconsciously. But he does look very, very different. Which reminds me, I watched a movie with Dakota Johnson and she didn't have bangs. And I did not recognize her for half the movie.
Because she didn't have bangs. Oh my gosh. Have you watched, what's it called? Madame Web yet?
No, I still haven't watched Madame Web.
Oh my gosh, that's scared. Gotta be the next one. Shannon, that's gotta be the next one you watch.
I'm scared.
You love Sydney Sweeney. I know. You were going on.
I know. I gotta watch it.
It's like so bad that it's enjoyable.
I know.
It's like one of those movies, you're gonna be obsessed with it.
Which, like, I'm so ready for. Like, I know. And
I showed you clips of, like, the guy's the bad mouth. ADR. Yeah. That's, like, real. Shannon, that's real.
I know. I gotta watch it. I gotta watch it. And honestly, like, it's kind of on brand with the movies I've been watching for reasons that I cannot explain. But, yes, I do. I need to watch it. I do. I will. I'm going to. All right, so I think that finally brings us to the Bad Batch. Our boys are in quite a pickle. Here's the thing about these two episodes, okay? My favorite part about both of these episodes is Admiral Rampart.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. He's so bratty.
Like, it's amazing. The sass is on a completely other level.
He's just, like, so bratty to them.
I love when there's a scene in episode 14 where he's like, the Batch is like, did Rampart survive? And Hunter's like, unfortunately, yes. And Rampart's
and
like,
then he's
I
just
heard
like
that.
There. Oh my God.
The screams. Like,
when he has to jump off the ship.
I never want to hear the Wilhelm scream again. I only want to hear the Rampart scream from now on. Like,
I do wonder what's going to happen to him in the finale.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're all like, oh, the Bad Batch, like, what's going to happen to them? But, like,
he's in a pickle. He is in a pickle at the end. So, yeah, there's definitely some things going on. I just remember, like, us being like, why did we go and get Rampart? Like, this is lame. This is a waste of time. And honestly, I do feel like he's not doing anything for the plot other than being hilarious. So, yeah. Like... I'm not mad at it.
I guess they had to fill in the spot that Tech left.
These episodes, have we seen the X-Trooper? No. We had any mention of Tech? No. I think the Tech is Alive theories were the friends we made along the way, Alex.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel that way.
That makes me sad. It makes me very sad.
I think if I was writing this season and I knew that we weren't bringing Tech back, I would have written it differently at the beginning.
I would have, yes. I would
to
have had something
more
at the beginning.
To make it clear to the audience, like, this is closure. Here is your closure.
Yeah, make it super clear he's not coming back. I mean, obviously people would have still clowned, but, like, they just left it very ambiguous. So, I don't know. We did get a look at Lego Tech, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that was spooky.
Spooky.
That was spooky.
I do actually have that Lego set.
I love that for you.
I have it.
I love that for you. Do you reenact Plan 99?
That's too sad. Like, I'm, like, playing, like, LOML, like, in the background, and he's just, like, falling. Slow motion.
Yeah. So, episode 13, Into the Breach. Just, like, I really think it's interesting where we've got Omega with this. Because, like, Omega is in the vault now. And I mentioned this last time that I think that they're really stupid for putting Omega in this vault. Because Omega immediately is just like, don't worry, guys. Yeah. We're getting out of here. Don't worry. Well,
Emery gets questioned on that, though. Like, your thoughts are addressed in this episode because another science officer, like, asks Emery, like, why would you put Omega in
the
vault?
That's true. That is true. And Emery's kind of
like, don't question me. I'm the, like, superior person here.
I mean, I do think that Emery, you're right, though, because I think Emery probably wants to keep a close eye on Omega. I think in these two episodes, what we really see is, like, Emery wants to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know how yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, she puts Omega in the vault, one, I think, because she doesn't want Omega to be isolated because she is also lonely and she can, like,
yeah,
feel that too. But also because she wants to help, but she... is almost like unsure if she wants to get both of her feet wet yet. Like, she kind of is like half in, half out.
Yeah. Do you think Emery's gonna die?
Oh, I hope not. That would be really sad.
I feel like I could see her sacrificing herself to save the children.
I think Nala Say would.
But, like, where has she been?
She's in a prison cell.
I know, but we haven't seen her in so long.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like in the finale as, like, because, okay, at the end of episode 14, like, we're basically in lockdown and a lot's going on.
Right.
I think during this chaos, like, Emery could probably get Nala Say out of her prison cell.
That's true. That is true. I feel like there's so much that needs to happen. Right?
In, like, the finale, yeah.
Yes. Like, there's so much. It's like, I completely even forgot about Nala Say. Yeah. And it's like, and if we see Nala Say, like, I want her to give us some answers, like, with Emery, with Omega, like, mm-hmm. And I just...
I feel like the plot, like, we've been going at a snail's pace for the past, like, three episodes.
I totally agree with that, because I feel like Into the Breach and Flash Strike... they're very similar. They're very different, like, in ways that Into the Breach, the Bad Batch is trying to figure out how to get to Tantus. And then in episode 14, they actually arrive on Tantus. But, like, plot-wise, there's not a lot going on. Like, in the background, like, Omega is figuring out how to escape. But it doesn't feel like we're building up to this climactic moment. It just feels like, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're gonna break her out, but, like, I don't see what else is being built up.
Do you think you would feel differently if they did a three-part finale and the finale was starting with Into the Breach? Because it really feels like 13 and 14 are one long episode, and then it also still ends on a cliffhanger at the end of 14.
Yeah, I could see that.
It feels like 13, 14, 15 are, like, one episode.
It does, because it's the breakout. Mm-hmm. Which, you're so right. And the only thing, though, is I still feel like you could trim some stuff to get more character stuff.
Because, like, I agree with you completely that there's a little bit of repetition through these. But because, like, the way that they end abruptly, it feels like they're just supposed to be one long episode.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. I feel like we've been focused a lot more on action in these episodes, mm-hmm. too. Which, to a certain extent, you can do because these characters do feel developed. But then at the same time, like, there's still so much more that I feel like they could do with the Batch, with Emery, with Omega, going back to Nala Say.
Crosshair's trauma.
And, like, Wrecker has gotten, like, no screen time, really.
He hasn't really gotten any character development this season.
Like, I would argue that...
he's just, like, there.
I would argue that Rampart has gotten more development than Wrecker. Yeah. Which, like, I like Rampart. He's fun. But, like, I think the reason we like him is because he kind of breaks up the monotony of, like, just all this action.
Yeah.
Because he's silly goofy. Like,
he brings out the sass and he annoys the Bad Batch.
Yes.
Mainly Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah, like I just, and I love him in this because the only way that they can get to Tantus, they have to go to the station, and they need Rampart to help break them in because he's an Imperial. Like, all of that was hilarious.
Yeah, and he does a good job.
Yeah. Oh, and I love that you put on here that you, it's like, why did I think Hunter and Rampart wanted to kiss?
They did. There was tension.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, Rampart's a boy kisser. Like, it's, we know that. We already know that. But yeah, like, they had to wear little disguises, which was great. Like, Rampart was very good at sneaking them in and, like, getting them on, like, finding a shuttle and all that. Like,
I liked his moment when he was handed the uniform he had to wear, and it was a captain uniform instead of an admiral, and he was so, like, pissed off. He was so pissy about it. He was like, I can't wear that. I'm an admiral.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, well, you've been demoted. That was really funny. Like, it's just like, my guy, there are bigger problems. Like,
we also forgot to mention that grandmother returns from the war.
Oh my gosh, grandmother did return from the war. Grandmother has actually done so much in these two episodes.
She stole a ship.
Like, for being Echo, former member of the Bad Batch, like,
yeah.
And we see his ears also.
Yeah.
Like, did you know that Echo had ears?
Didn't someone say, like, oh, Echo was a caught?
Yeah, and it's because he took off his stupid little earmuffs. I thought
he was like he didn't have ears and that was like part of his head.
Oh yeah. I can't get past his little like bolts in his head though. That's what gets me. I don't like the bolts in his head. That's really odd.
Yeah, he stole a shuttle because they don't have obviously the Marauder anymore. Yeah. And they need a ship.
And he gets, so when they're on this station and they're trying to like figure out how to get to Tantus, they have to stow away on a science vessel, and Echo gets stuck in there.
Yeah.
And I just love that they were like, what about Echo? And they're like, ah, he'll figure it out. It's like, yeah, whatever.
His little like side mission where he had to like send them the coordinates so they could follow the ship that he was on, it was like so technically complicated. Them getting to Tantus, because it was like, well, we can't all sneak aboard a ship, but we can't track them. Like, it was like, yeah, all this stuff.
I feel like they ideally wanted to just like upload the coordinates, but they were like, oh, they're only uploaded like when the ship is en route. And so it had to be this science vessel. And so Echo gets on the science vessel and he's like, I still can't get the coordinates, and then there's too many of us. So they, like, attach their shuttle to the bottom of the science vessel, which they've done that before in Star Wars, and I think that's really cool and fun. Except
you just get a little piggyback.
Yeah, like, I think that's just really cute, but, like, also, like, you gotta explain, like, sensors. Like, the science vessel was like, there's something wrong. Like, they kinda knew.
Well, yeah, because when it arrives on Tantus, like, what's his name?
Hemlock?
What's the science twink's name?
Hemlock?
Hemlock, yeah. Yes.
The science twink.
Hemlock is like, okay, we need to, like, check this out and everything. So they're, like, making sure there's, like, no stowaways. Well, because
they heard that there were reports. They were like, hey,
there was something wrong.
The Bad Batch was on Coruscant, and they were like, I bet they're here. And they were.
The Bad Batch are coming.
Yeah. Well, and, like, they knew immediately. Like, when Flash Strike starts, like, they're already, they're like, we know you're here. And they're shooting at him immediately. The only person who is flying under the radar, surprisingly, is Echo. Well, because he takes all of his clothes off.
I love the scene of him and Emery. I'm like kind of obsessed with that scene because he's like, he has his like arm in the machine.
Yeah. And she's like, what are you doing? And he's just like, regular routine diagnostic. He stole a hand from a droid. Yeah. And he just like sticks it back on. He's like, none of your business.
And Emery knows who it is.
Yeah.
Because Omega has talked to her about all of the Bad Batch.
Yeah. He wrote, grandmother met his only daughter, Emery.
you agree? Yeah. Like, she's his daughter, and all the others are sons. Like,
he mothered. I mean, I really do like the conversation with them because, like, Echo is devoted to, like, this rebellion, this empire, like, takedown. And Emery, like, again, it's like, you're a clone. What are you doing?
Yeah, he does say that to her. Like, you're a clone, too. Like, what are you doing? I think that actually is what wakes her up more than anything, that conversation.
Because she's one of them. And I feel like she's been so othered from the clones that she doesn't empathize with them anymore because she doesn't see herself as
she's
one.
She's othered by the Empire also.
Yeah. Well, and that's the name of the game for the Empire is to keep you feeling apart and feeling like you're not where you're supposed to be. It keeps you quiet. It keeps you down. We also didn't even mention that the Bad Batch completely strip their armor. So, like, everything's just black now.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I find myself, like, really missing, like, the Gen 1, like, Bad Batch armor, like, with all the red.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, though. Somebody pointed out that it really matches the CX Troopers armor, which I think is just a lot of clownery, but it does.
It does.
Does it mean anything? Probably not.
I don't know how I like how it looks lit in, like, dark scenes.
Yeah.
Like, I think it doesn't look, like, that great, but that's just a lighting problem, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. What did you think of Omega finally making her move and going into the vents?
Yeah, she was like, oh man, like before we even get to that scene, when she's like with the other kids and she's like, yo, I got the plan. And she like has all the toys and like, I guess like dominoes almost showing them. And then she like shows the little, like, screwdriver in her sleeve. She's like, look what I got. Like,
you know what her song is? You know what her song is? Mastermind.
Yeah. I mean, these scenes were really giving Andor Prison Break. Like, she was fully like, I'm going to get us out of here, all of us.
Yeah.
And she told them that. And then One she told out. Them, you know, like, you guys need to cover for me when I go into the vent to check. And it was a close call
go on. I was so, I don't want to say mad because I wasn't really mad, but like Omega was taking a really long time.
I know. She had like no care in the world. She's like, but la-di-da-di-da.
Well, and like, she kept going. And like, I found myself getting really anxious because I'm like, you are going to get lost. Like, I didn't realize these vents were so extensive. Like, Among Us did not teach me that these vents would be so crazy. Because I'm like, you're going to get lost. Like, she's dropping down. She's climbing up. So I was just like, you are not going to make it back in time. And these kids are going to pay the price. Because they told her that in episode 13. Like, if you're causing trouble, we're going to be in trouble. And I love that she tells these kids, like, you'll need to, you know, stall them. And these kids are like, I don't know how to do that. I have no people skills. And so, like, that one girl, she's like, I'm still hungry. The doctor is like, it'll pass.
And then she's like, I don't feel good. So they have to scan her.
Yeah. And then the boy is like, can I go next? And she's like, literally, no. We go in order. That doctor lady was having none of it. She is beefing with a child, and she was like, I'm about to catch you in the act.
She's also beefing with Emery, though.
Like, she is. She is.
Beefing with everyone.
What did you think of Omega finding a Zillow beast?
Like, I don't know. Is it going to be a big deal next episode? Are they going to escape on the back of the Zillow beast?
Do Zillow beasts fly?
Like, oh, yeah, because they're at the top of a mountain. They're not, like, on ground level, are they?
I mean, I think that they're just going to use the Zillow beast probably to make their escape. But see, like, here's the thing, right? If I knew that this was a 40-minute episode, I would be like, yeah, Zillow beast is going to be awesome. It's going to break them out. But if it's a 22-minute episode, like, that would be, like, the entire episode.
Yeah.
Just them breaking out the Zillow beast, them aiding in the breakout, like, because don't forget, it's not just the clones that they're going to say, like, not just the kids, it's also the clones, like, all the prisoners.
It's just gonna be chaos.
Yeah. And like, are we gonna, like, we have to face off with Hemlock, we have to have some kind of reconciliation with Emery, we have to have some kind of something with Nala Se. Like, Is the end of the episode just going to be them flying off into the sunset? Or is it going to be like a resolve to join the rebellion? Are they going to go back to Pabu? Like, I have so many questions.
I guess we were kind of like at the end of this, like overall thoughts, like going into the finale. And like, I wrote down that I really want to see how the Bad Batch are going to fit into the rebellion, because I think that they will.
Yeah.
Even though that was refused prior, I do think that they are going to join the rebellion, and that's like my wish list item is like, I want to see them join the rebellion, or, you know, go with Echo, you know, like do something that is very definitive that we know like where their future is headed.
Yeah.
That, so yeah, Tech is really dead.
I know, because like all those things that I mentioned need to happen, and then like if Tech is actually alive, it's like, are we going to have some kind of reconciliation with the CX trooper? And if we do, like, if there's a Tech reveal, like, it just, there's still so much.
Yeah, Tech's not alive.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so sad. And, like, we don't even really know, like, what those CX troopers are. Like, are they clones? Are they, you know, I just, I feel a little frustrated because, like, this season has been so good, but I feel like we've been running out of time, and it's kind of like,
yeah, since the mid-season finale, like the mid-season, I feel like the looking at the clock, like, okay, Omega's going back to Tantis again.
Yeah.
And then we have to break her out again.
And I feel like
it feels a bit repetitive.
And it does. And I feel like the way to make it not feel repetitive would be if instead of it just being Echo that came back, like maybe it was like Rex's whole like division. Like maybe, you know, you call back up like Ventress again, or just, you know, like these one-off characters. Like instead it's just the Batch again, which is fine. But like I feel like even if they end with joining the rebellion, that still feels very like open-ended, like, but we know it's the finale. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like, I'm going into the assumption that this is going to be a 20-minute episode.
Yeah. And I just don't understand how it can be a 20-minute episode. Although, like, can you think of any animated shows that have just a regular runtime finale?
Like, aren't they normally an hour? My worry is that if it was more, if it was going to be more than 20 minutes, it would be two episodes. It would be, yeah, like, it would be part one, part two. They were advertising that we were going to get two episodes.
Yeah.
That's my worry. And like I said to you, it kind of feels like 13, 14, 15 might actually
be the finale. The
finale.
And we've just been getting it in segments.
Yeah.
And see, I just, I don't know what would have made it better. Like, I really hesitate to say this because it's not really the case at all, but I kind of feel like it's that same frustration of when we were in, like, the first half of season two, where we were kind of like, I don't understand where we're going. Like, I feel like we're focusing on the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, because to me, it's super obvious that they're going to break Omega out. Like, we know that anyway. Like, they're going to break Omega out, especially knowing that this is, like, the series finale. Like, they're going to save Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's only 22 minutes, they're going to spend all their time doing that, and we're not going to get the big questions answered.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, like, here's another scenario that I think would be cool to play out, is that when this is all said and done, the Bad Batch and Omega kind of like dedicate their lives to protecting Force-sensitive kids.
Yeah. A la Cal Kestis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because of what happens here, like making sure that those kids or kids like them never get in the hands of the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So then they you could even see them joining the faction that Quentin Voss is in or whatever.
Yes. Which would be interesting. Like, I definitely feel like no matter how you slice it, this is not going to be the last we see of the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. Like, does not matter how this season ends.
It just, we're going to see them again. The main character of whatever the next show is.
Yeah. Is kind of what I'm thinking. I have seen people say that they think, like, adult Omega is going to be, like, in season 2 of Ahsoka or something. And I'm like, I don't see that.
I don't want that.
I don't want that. Like, that's not what I want. Like, I definitely want to see, like, more of her. But more than anything, I think what this show has done really well is her progression and how much she's grown. Like, seeing clips of her from season 1 and then seeing her now, like, Omega really has grown up. And when you look at it more in the context of her, I do think that it's been paced well. Like, if this is her story, she's the main character, I do think it's been paced well for her. It's just when you look at it in the context of an ensemble that I think things have kind of fallen a little bit.
I do think Crosshair has gotten a good arc this season for the most part.
Yeah, I would agree. I feel like this season we haven't, like, obviously we've gotten zero things from Wrecker, but I also feel like we haven't really gotten anything from Hunter. Like, Hunter feels the same. The only thing
we ever get from Hunter is, like, and it hasn't been happening lately, but, like, that little, like, hint of, like, jealousy.
Yes.
That, like, that Omega has a strong relationship with Crosshair as well. And that they have, like, kind of differing opinions, and they're two different people who are, I guess, like, raising her. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, that could have been dove into, like, so much more.
Well, and that could have also been if we had seen the aftermath more of her turning herself in. Because we do, to, like, a certain extent, we see the aftermath and, like, obviously Hunter's upset. But I feel like we immediately just snapped into, like, we're going to save her mode. We didn't, I wanted to see them argue. Like, I wanted to see him make the case of,
more,
like,
head-butting.
Yeah, like, we're butting heads. Crosshair, you know, obviously being upset, but saying, like, you know, she can take care of herself, like, she's matured, and Hunter having to face that she has grown, and there's, you know, a lot happened to her when he wasn't there.
And that's that was happening, but to a very, like, surface level. Like, it wasn't probably as much as we would like to see, because I think the show can fall into a lot of action sequences and not, and forget about the characters at times.
Yeah, I would agree. And I feel like since the midseason, it's been mostly action, which you could make the argument that, like, in Hunter's POV, like, nothing else matters other than save Omega. And so it feels very, like, frantic and action-y because he won't stop and, like, think.
Yeah.
But that's very, like, beginning of the season Hunter. You know what I mean? Like, that's where he was at the beginning of the season. I just feel very nervous, I think, for Wednesday. I just don't know.
Are you worried about any other Plan 99s happening?
I really don't think so. I mean, I will admit, like, I never thought that they'd kill any member of the Batch. So the fact that they did kill Tech was very shocking. I kind of feel like if they kill more members in this next episode, a lot of fans are going to be really upset.
Yeah.
Like, I could see it happening, but I just don't think they will. I really kind of feel like this episode, and, like, I really hope that I eat these words. I really kind of feel like this episode is going to be, we save Omega, we blow up the base, and that's the end.
So what about silly, goofy Rampart? What's going to happen to him?
We didn't even talk about that. So Rampart's been captured.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they knew, like, oh, like, what's this dude doing here?
Yeah, immediately, because they know who Rampart is. They're like, oh, hello. Because Himlock, like, kind of, he became the next Imperial daddy after Rampart. They didn't have the same job. They weren't in the same, like, department. But you know what I mean. Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you think he's gonna sell out the Bad Batch?
No.
Like, I don't really think he has anything to tell them. I feel like it's just going to end up being, like, another person that they're going to save. You know? Like,
I kind of, like, want him to join them.
Join the Bad Batch?
Because he's, like, the comedic relief. We're the Bad Batch now.
But he's not a clone. He's not a Bad Batch.
True.
But you know what it's giving, though? It's kind of giving Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, I was going to say Agent Callis.
Oh! Gives Pirates of the Caribbean. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Who's that guy? The Commodore?
Norrington?
Yeah, Norrington. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he goes through his, like, dirty era, and then he also has a sassy era.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. He is, like, Commodore Norrington.
I could see him joining. Man, there's this one still of Rampart that is so funny because it looks like he's got, like, these big doe eyes. Have you seen that picture?
Yeah.
I never thought I would say that I wish we had more episodes with Rampart because I just want to see him in scenarios that make him upset more. Like,
yeah,
he's so upset. Like, when they were like, we're jumping out of the shuttle, he was so upset. And then he accidentally wakes up that beast and then has to run away. And
I like, it's so funny that I'm, like, actually, like, so excited to see where his story is headed. Like,
I'm probably the most excited to see Rampart in this next episode, but I also just feel like his stuff is going to be super safe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about him.
Yeah. Like, what if we got a Rampart show? What he does in, like, the Rebellion or something.
I would love to see him interact with Cyril. Like, that's a little ways down the road.
I miss Cyril so much.
I miss Cyril so much.
I think about him every day.
Yeah, that's my Roman Empire. That's my baby right there.
I'm so excited for Andor season 2.
That post that you sent earlier where it's like, I love to hate this man. He's such a loser.
Yeah, and it's Cyril.
I need to rewatch. I want to rewatch Andor so bad. Loser. Like, I think about it all the time. I need to just do it. You just bite the bullet. And watch Madam Web and watch Love Lies Bleeding. It's just so good. I definitely, like, going into our next episode, like, the plan was, like, we're going to do the finale, but we're probably also going to talk about the Acolyte sneak peek. So I just think it's, like, we just don't know what we're going to get yet. We don't know what we're going to get yet.
Yeah, our plan could change, I guess, depending if the Bat Bash finale warrants, like, a really long discussion.
Yes. Which, time will tell. Maybe it will be a long episode and we don't know. Like, I don't think they've said anything about the runtime. Like, I don't think we have any information, so.
No information.
Wow. You know what else is May the 4th?
What?
Tales of the Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've got a lot of things coming out May the 4th. Because we got the Bad Batch finale on the 1st. The 3rd is the Acolyte sneak peek. The 4th is Tales of the Empire. And then June will be the Acolyte.
I feel weird about Tales of the Empire coming out on a weekend.
Why?
Just because it's usually, like, a weekday release. Also, like, I'm going to see a bunch of movies on the 4th. So,
oh,
I'm
true.
Like, when am I going to Sunday? I don't
That's
know.
That's true. And that'll probably be, like, what, 6 episodes like it was last time? Was it 6 episodes last time? Yeah. You know, I do think about those Dooku episodes often.
They're really good.
I don't think about the Ahsoka episodes very much.
No.
That first one was really good, and we got to see that at Celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one with baby Ahsoka. Mm-hmm.
But, man, those Dooku episodes, though, those were good.
Dooku just has, like, one of the most interesting stories.
Yes.
So, like, it would be hard to make those uninteresting.
I mean, I think it's only a matter of time before we get our Duke News story. It's only a matter of time. Where is my YA?
Do, do, do. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Where is our YA teenage Jedi Knight Dooku falling in love with the library assistant Jocasta New story? Who's going to write it? Where is it? Kevin? I'm looking at you. I'm looking directly at you, Kevin.
Kevin has it in him.
He really... I think out of all the authors, Kevin is the one who's up to the task.
We always say that, though. We're like Kevin's number one fan.
We are. If Kevin has no fans, we're dead. I wonder what Kevin's favorite song is off of the Tortured Poets Department. Well, is there anything else about our Bad Batch semifinals before we go into the finale?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, if you guys would like to keep the conversation going, you can find us pretty much always on Twitter or Instagram at @lip_lightsabers. I am at McCarter Shannon and Alex is at Alex Leonis. And we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.